For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
This week is the Haftorah for Parshas Bikukosai, page 1179. Yirmiyahu. One of the things about Haftorahs are you get different styles. You get to see different prophets and different people relate to different prophets. And sometimes we're related to these prophets. Like this might have been our grandfather, our great-grand, you know, like certain people, they say, well, I just love Yirmiyahu. I just love Yechezkel. He speaks to me. You know, David, so it's just interesting when you read a different prophet and you get into it, sometimes it'll resonate with you. The messages were given from a different perspective. He had the toughest job, Yirmiyahu, because he was there at the end when things had already been really bad, and he prophesied that the temple would be destroyed, and he was the prophet of the doom and gloom, so to speak. But he saw past it. So over here, we're going to begin. There's going to be a little question how it relates to the Parsha. The Parsha is Bikukosai, is about what goes wrong, so to speak. It says that when the Jewish people won't go in Hashem's ways and they worship idols, then everything is going to fall apart. But if we serve Hashem and we put our faith in Him, and then everything will be great. And so there's this, basically there's the question is, do you have faith? Does the person follow Hashem, or does he not follow Hashem? That's really what, to some extent that was the question of the time. Sometimes people do the same thing everybody else does. They don't work on Shabbos. He doesn't work on Shabbos. They kept kosher. A person keeps kosher. But what does a person believe in? What's their essence? Like, do they believe in Hashem? Are they, we don't talk a lot about it because the belief, it's really interesting. We had a false Messiah, and it was over 400 years ago, but in Jewish history, that's recent. And a lot of people got very messed up in their beliefs. You know, they got very, we've also had other types of things where, when you talk too much about belief, these are things that are difficult to prove, their personal feelings. And sometimes, especially after the Holocaust, a lot of people's beliefs were shaken. And sometimes we didn't really have a good answer. Like, you know, where was God when all these terrible things happened? You can't, when a person suffers, you can't answer that. You know, well, it's true, Hashem tests us, and that we don't understand, and that everything in the end will be good, and we have explanations, but it's not an answer. So what happened is that a lot of rabbis or a lot of places just, we believe that you do the right things and you come to faith. In other words, you'll see Hashem if you do mitzvahs, if you do kindness, if you help people. But if you just talk about belief, I believe, you know, that's not going to do the trick. You have to do through commandments, through mitzvahs, through connecting to the soul that a person has, the divine spark. We believe that Hashem put a spark inside us that we can connect to Him. I'm a Baal Tshuva, which means that when I was little, I wasn't born in an observant house. And I can't explain to you, this was a long time ago, how exactly it works, but I had, somebody gave me as a present, as a bar mitzvah gift, one of these fancy Bibles with like a silver cover and a stand.
And, like gems,
and the gems in it, yes. And I didn't, I think that was the only Jewish book I got, actually. But it was fancy and had the gems in it. So I had like a nightstand, and I thought, okay, what do you do? I put it on the nightstand. And so sure enough, I remember one night I was going to bed, and I wasn't tired, and I picked it up, and I started reading it, and something spoke to me. Everybody has a process. It wasn't a one moment kind of thing, but I connected to Hashem as a teenager. And today I sometimes wish I could be in that same purity, that same connection, you know. But we have to, as individuals, we all have to have a relationship with Hashem. There's that call. Somebody probably wants tickets for kosher day. But you have to have that relationship with Hashem. And it's a personal relationship. And I don't, you know, you could talk about, you know, some people, they get it through nature. They go, you know, they go to a sunrise or they see the beauty and then they feel the divine. And some people, they help people. And when you help people, there's no real reason that it should feel good. Why does it feel good to give your time and your energy? And sometimes they don't thank you. They don't appreciate it, right? Like, but when you do it, you connect to you realize that there's holiness in sharing and giving in the world, and you connect to Hashem. So we all have to find a way to strengthen our beliefs, our emunah. And that's why it's difficult, you know, sometimes people like to be judgmental, you know, this person, you know what, that person might be closer to Hashem than you are. He's buddies with that, you know, we have no way, like, a person could be very close to Hashem in their life. And used to meet in older generations, it was like natural, like the people, they just, even people that weren't religious, they were close to Hashem. It was like very, with us, we just get busy with our cell phones and our other things, and you could get so busy that you could even be busy being religious, and you don't think about Hashem. It reached such a point where there's a group that's, somebody has a foundation where he's trying to teach in the day schools about emunah, about faith. So what do you mean? We're learning Torah all day long. What do you have to talk about? Because people sometimes somehow forget to make a personal relationship with Hashem, to figure him out, so to speak, to be connected. I mean, that's what we really should do when we daven. But sometimes, well, we say the Hebrew words and we do the, you know, and hopefully we get to faith at some other time. But it's really what's important is to connect to Hashem. So this is what he says over here. Who is Hashem? This is also funny. He says Hashem is Uzi. So you know what an Uzi is? It's an Israeli. So, you know, Israel, thank God, you know, they have an interesting sense of humor. They call the machine gun my strength, Uzi. But you know who's the Uzi? Who's my strength? The one above. He's the one who gives me strength. Otherwise, I wouldn't get up in the morning. Hashem is my strength. Now, he says it's a Uzi Uma Uzi. He's my strength. He calls it my strength and my stronghold. I would say the second one means like the source of my strength. In other words, sometimes I just feel like I don't have energy. So you ask Hashem, please give me more. You know, like Shimshon. You know, Shimshon was standing there with the pillars and he had lost. He said, Hashem, give me back. You know, we believe that Hashem gives a person strength, you know, to do whatever it is they need to do. And you meet people and they say, how'd you do it? I don't know how I did. I asked Hashem to help me somehow and I got the strength, right? So that's Uzi Uma Uzi. Hashem is my strength. Now, the third one is very interesting. And he's my refuge. Sometimes I just need to run away and hide and be protected. You know, some people are causing me trouble and I need to go somewhere safe. What do they call that? A safe room? I think they have that on college campuses, like safe space or something, or where the college students can go and feel secure and, it's a modern term. I don't know exactly but that's what Hashem is. He's Umanusi. So sometimes he's the source of my strength when I feel like conquering the world. And sometimes I just need to be protected from all the things that are out there that are causing me trouble. The Yom Sarah, on the day of my challenge. This is true of most prophets. We believe that all faiths have to believe in Hashem and turn to Hashem. Eilecha goyim yavo. All the nations of the world will come to you, Hashem. And me'af se'oretz, from all over, v'yomer, and they will say, ach shecher necholu. And they'll say, sometimes people will, there's a lot of falsehood in the world. And there are a lot of, people have been told a lot of funny stories, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, and it's very, you know, we tell kids a lot of strange things, you know, like, you know, you just tell them all these, all, we like fill them up with, if you ever read like the bedtime stories and what?
Fantasies,
yeah, and people, they were told things by their parents, and they inherited false, they were just fake, just phony, just stuff that was passed on that they did because... and that when they realized that there's Hashem, in those days people worshipped idols, and they, the sun god, and the moon god, and the statues, and the gold, and the silver, and it was all falseness. Hevel, it's empty. The ein bam moil, it didn't help for anything. It didn't, verse 20, Hayasilo Adam Elokim, can a person make a god? And believe it or not, this is the primary mistake that people make, is that they want to make their religion. And in America, it's very common, like everybody wants to design their own, you know, tailor make it, like it's something that we, the whole concept of idols was that people wanted to make their own gods themselves. We can't make religion. We can't make it what we want it to be. It's not up to us to design it. You know, we have to accept it. So a person is going to make a god, and if you're going to make something man-made, that's not God. Whatever you come up with, whatever your committee votes on, whatever is politically correct, the way you want God to be, that's not God. That's what you made. That's not a god. So verse 21, Lechein, therefore, hinini modiyah mepamazos, and therefore I'm going to make known. The way of the world isn't that... Hashem doesn't make miracles all the time. That's not a... there wouldn't be free will if we lived in this world where this huge power forced us into doing things. But every now and then we get a, we see the hand of Hashem. So Hashem says, this time I'm going to show it to you. Odim, I'll show you my hand, Vesgurasi, and my strength. V'yodu, and then everybody will know, Kishmi Hashem. It reminds me of like during the Six-Day War, everybody thought, wow, such a miracle. Of course everybody's going to believe. And then over time, like, you know, people stop seeing the hand of Hashem. That's really the, there's so many miracles in life that, and when people, many times a person's initial reaction is it's a miracle. It's amazing. And then time goes on and they forget it. You know, they forget the miracle. So Hashem says, I'm going to make myself known. 17. Chatos Yehuda. We don't like to talk about it. There were a lot of stubborn people. The Jewish people, Yehuda, had sinned. Ksuva be'et barzel, and their sin was engraved. Sometimes you sin, it can be erased pretty easy. It's not a very deep sin, but the sin of the people of basically they were hoping that it wouldn't be necessary to expel the Jewish people from the land of Israel and to destroy the temple. And Hashem says, no, the sin was like very engraved. And it's engraved with like iron, Betzipon Shamir Harusha, and it's engraved on the Luach Libam, that the people in their hearts, they just continued to go in their ways, Lakarnas Mizbech, and they made these altars to the idols. Now, it's interesting. The people were fanatics. They were fanatics about the idols. The Gemara mentions that. In other words, sometimes people are like that. They're not just, well, I'll do a little of this. So Jews are very, whatever they do with all their energy. What do people care about the most often? That's their children. To them, the idols were greater than their children. The people then would sacrifice their children to the idols. We can't imagine that, you know, like taking a baby and, you know, burning him in front of an idol, you know, burning him alive in front of an idol. That's, to them, they were willing to sacrifice for their idols. Kizachu b'nei mizbechosam, like the, just like they remember their children, that's the way they think of their idols. Vashreyim al etzranan, and they, what they used to do is they used to go to the mountaintops. There was something about the mountaintops. They used to have at the top of each mountain, they'd set up a little altar, and they'd have a tree, and that's how they used to worship then. I don't know why, what it was about mountaintops, but that's where they used to go, and the mountaintops or the hills. And to them, they were so, they couldn't shake the people from idolatry. Verse 3, Hare Besada Chilecha. And the people, they put their wealth and they put their energy to the idols. Hashem says, I'm going to take everything away from you. You have things too good. And if I take it away and you realize your idols can't help, then in the end you'll turn back to me, which is what happened. But the people had a lot of wealth, and they worshipped the idols. So Hashem says, your wealth, the kolot, and all your treasure houses, levaz, they'll all be looted. Armies came through the land of Israel and carried everything away. Etein b'masecha b'chatos b'kol gulecha, because of the sins in all your boundaries. Verse 4. V'shamatata. This is similar to the word Shemitah, by the way, which is a... Sometimes we believe that faith is not really so hard. If a person just takes time, he just has quiet time, then he can have... That's why Shabbos is a time of faith. Like just you know, Shabbos, a person has time to think and connect to Hashem. So they were in a farming society. Every 7 years, they wouldn't plant. They would. That was Shemitah. And that was time to connect to Hashem and realize He was the boss of the land. That's part of the Parsha message too. So Hashem says, I'm going to remove you from, I'm going to have Shemitah. I'm going to, you know, you won't be able to plant. I'll remove you from your inheritance that I gave to you. And instead of serving me, you're going to serve your enemies. And you're going to go to lands that you never saw before. Like these were strange places. Ki'esh kadaktim ba'api. And because there's a fire that's burning, a fire of anger that the people had gone into idol worship. Ad olam, and it's going to burn for this olam, but it doesn't actually mean, well, he says forever, but it could also mean a long time. Basically, the fact that the people abandoned Hashem was a terrible thing. And then he says why really in the Parsha where it talks about the rebuke in the verse 8, it's because people turned away from Hashem. And he quotes a famous thing, verse 5, Ko amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Ora gever sheyivtek ba'adam. Woe is to the person that puts his faith in flesh and blood, in a human. V'sam b'soro zoro, people, they believe, they want to serve gods that people have made up, man-made gods. They want to put their faith in people and others. People, some people are nice, but they're not Hashem. A person really can only have faith in Hashem. Min Hashem yisur livo, and they turn their hearts away from Hashem. Verse 6, and he gives an analogy. V'haya ka'ara v'arava, it's like a tree that doesn't have a source. If a person doesn't have faith, it's like if you don't water a plant, they're going to dry up. Our engine, our fuel is our faith. There are different things we've instituted. One is we make blessings. Another is we say Baruch Hashem, or because we want to remind ourselves that we're supposed to have faith and think about Hashem. The most important thing in life is to have what we call Yirah Shamayim, fear of heaven. And what that means is that we always think of God when we make our plans. What would Hashem want me to do? What am I here for? So that's the... but a person without that, they're going to wilt. Lo Yirah Ki Yavu Tov, they won't see when the good comes. Of Shokin Charon B'Midbar, they're going to be out in the desert, Eretz Malecha, a salty place. Lo Teshev, and they won't be able to stay. So that's if they don't have faith. But if they do, verse 7, Baruch HaGever Ashriv Tech Bashem. They made a song out of this, but it's really, blessed is the person, not only blessed, but he's a person who has Amuna. He has this word, Yiftach, is the same word as Bitachan, is faith. Blessed is the person that has faith in Hashem. And if you have faith in Hashem, then Hay Hashem Yiftacho, then Hashem will protect you, so to speak. He'll be your security. And the faith itself is what gives a person power. And then rather than being like a tree that's cut off from its source, it's the opposite. Verse 8. V'hayuk eit shasal mayim. It's like a tree that's planted near the water. V'ayuvo yishalat. And it's growing and has deep roots. V'lo yira ki yavuchom. And you know what? If it's a hot day, it's no problem because it's connected. And so that's what faith does. And you have to work on faith when things are good. In other words, if a person thinks about Hashem and faith, so when he has a bad day, then he can connect, he can find the faith. because you connect to Hashem at all times. But if a person only tries to connect when it's like it's too late, you know, Hashem, get me out of it, it's too late. You know, you have to, if you have that relationship, so it then when it's a hot day, you're rooted and you're able to withstand. What's really interesting is they did studies on the concentration camps, and people of religion had a better chance of survival than those that didn't. They have studies in hospitals too, that people that have are connected to Hashem, they do better. They have a source. They can handle their challenges better. Because that's our goal, really, is to, you know, have that relationship with Hashem, and he's our Uzi. He gives us strength, and sometimes we need to hide. He's the one we can hide at. Yeah, Hashem, you know, just save me from that. Hashem saves us from that person. Yeah, then it's more like a person will try anything, so they call, you know, yeah, you know. And it's but if they're connected, so then the faith helps a person when they need it, they find strength in it. Nobody should ever, ever have mourning or you know. But it's interesting. Mourning is also a religious experience. You know, person sits shiva, or they, like you would think, like here they felt the ultimate. You know, they lost a relative or a deceased person, and they are angry at Asher. They're just angry at life because it's just, you know, hard. But they also feel connected. It's really interesting. You know, the Tisha B'Av for us is a religion. It's a holiday, meaning it's also a day where it's. So some people would say it's like if a person has a parent. Sometimes parents reward them, and sometimes they punish them. But even when they're punished, they sense they have a parent, mm-hmm. And so it's a person. It's all just part of that connecting.
But even if you're angry at Hashem, you're still recognizing it's Hashem.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That's right. You know. That's right. And that's, you know, that's what's
about. You know, we've been through that somewhat, but it's some place, it's somewhere to.
Mm-hmm.
The holler where you think it's going somewhere.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And sometimes a person needs that.
Yeah.
You know, that's even if it's the complaint. Hashem, why'd you do this to me? You know, Eev, if you remember, he said, Hashem, maybe you got the wrong address. You know, there's a, the word Eev is spelled similar to Oyev, enemy. And he said, Hashem, maybe you thought, you know, maybe they made a mistake. There's got to be a mistake here. Not me, you know, I'm the wrong address, you know. But at least Hashem wants that. He wants that. But that's what we all have to work on. And that's the overall message, is that a person should put his faith in Hashem and connect to Hashem and work on that relationship. And that he's got the roots. Ubishnas b'tzoros. And you know, if there's a year where it's a year of famine, lo yita, he won't have any worries. Lo yamush masa, and he's still going to produce fruits because he's connected. He's connected to Hashem. Okay, verse 9. He throws in an interesting verse over here. He talks about the heart being crooked. We fool ourselves. Akev halev mikol. The heart can sometimes fool a person. Ve'enishu miyodienu. And sometimes, like, we're not thinking. Verse 10. Ani Hashem. Hashem reads our hearts. Sometimes, you know, nobody really knows what goes on in our hearts. Hashem does. Hashem knows deep down what... and the truth is, we should feel good about that. Because when we mean well, Hashem knows it. There are times when a person... makes a mistake, but if they had good intentions, Hashem knows that, and that makes a big difference. If a person meant well, but only Hashem can know that. Ani Hashem Chokher Lev. Hashem is the one who he reads our hearts. Boken Klayus, and it's just you find this expression in prayer, like he knows what our kidneys are doing. You know, he checks out the kidneys. The kidneys are like the filters that we have. Like what are the things in life that we take, and what do we filter out? So Hashem, like, he wants to know what our filters are. V'lasis l'ish kadrachav. And he pays a person back according to his ways, kapri ma'alolav, and according to his deeds. And so Hashem does that. In other words, he reads our hearts, he knows our intentions. One of the interesting things is the book of Yonah, that Yonah was a prophet and a man of God. And what does he do? He tries to run away from God. which is very strange. You know, if you're a prophet of Hashem, you know you can't run away from Hashem. Okay. He knows Hashem better than anybody. Hashem talks to him. And it's a terrible sin for a prophet to try to run away. So how does he get away with it? The answer, though, was his intentions were good. He was running away because he didn't want to doom his people, or he saw something bad would happen. And so when a person has good intentions, even when they make mistakes, Hashem knows what goes on in a person's heart. And so and the person gets paid for their good intentions, or hopefully. Verse 11, Korah deg v'lo yolad. This, I'm not sure what kind of bird this is. It's a bird called a dugger. I don't remember what the story with this bird was. I think there's a bird that would take other people's young, would like sit on other people's nests. But I don't remember. I remember seeing this word dugger is not the usual word for bird. It's a very specific bird. A lot of the things, they were very in tune to wildlife. Like if you really know animals well, then all your prayers and all the Haftarah, they're so much more meaning because, I mean, to us, it's like, you know, Naftali's a deer, so it doesn't mean anything, you know. But if you saw how fast a deer went, you know, or if you knew what, like, a beast of burden, or, like, they were in touch with the animal world. And so the dugger was a certain kind of bird that it calls out, it doesn't give birth. The temptation is people like to amass wealth, and they think that's what life is about. It's just things. But if they do it unjustly, then it's not going to stick with them. You know, today it's very real. Like whatever you have, if you have last year's phone, it's last year's phone. You know, it's like I have a teenager and he has to have the newest phone, and I just don't get it. Like, you know, 6 months ago this was it, and now they came up with a new model. Like, used to take a while until the old, you know, but. It's whatever he worked to amass. I said, the other one's paid for already. Why do you want to, you know, start off with a brand new phone? You got to pay for, you know, and it's a lot of money. And it's not just the phone. It's the accessories they get you. They've got teenagers figured out. And the teenagers, they have their parents figured out. And they
called marketing.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. Most of our teenagers have expensive phones, more expensive phones than the adults have. But you know what? As soon as the new one comes out, the old one's in the garbage. In this particular teenager's room, we have all the old phone accessories from last year, from the, you know, five different cases and earphones and everything made for this particular model. He doesn't see the, you know, it's like a wasted, but that's what wealth is, really. It's like we all have we amass wealth, or some people amass cars, and other people amass jewelry, and then something happens in life, and then all of a sudden you abandon it. It's just like, what did I need all that for? It's just so interesting about, in the end, none of that's going to matter. Verse 12, Kisei Kavan Morim. The real place is towards Hashem's throne, Mokum, the place of His holiness, the place of where Hashem it rests. Now, getting back to faith, if we ever left it, he uses the word Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. It's a great word. This it's really interesting. We call a mikvah is a water supply. It's water, life-giving water, but it's water that hasn't been contaminated by man. In other words, once a mikveh goes into water is put through a pipe or it's put in a bucket, you can't make them. It has to be totally natural. And there's an idea that we have to go back to our source. It's like to reboot. We have to go back to the life-giving waters of a mikveh means we go back to Hashem. We recreate. We become new again. The actual word mikveh in Hebrew means to hope. Kaveh means to hope. Mikveh is like our hope. In other words, we get involved in all kinds of what we call mishigas, or all kinds of craziness, and all kinds of, and we make mistakes, and we get different, and sometimes we just need to go back to Hashem. And that's what the word mikveh is. We go back to that untainted water, so to speak, and we recreate. We believe that we become new every day, and we can that's the idea of mikveh. So it says, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Who is our mikveh? How do we purify ourselves? That's through God. That's through our relationship with Hashem. That's that, if we immerse ourselves in Hashem, so to speak. Kol ozvecha yevoshu. All those that abandon Hashem will be embarrassed. The Surah Be'eretz. And if those people that have gone away and they've worshipped idols, ki azu mechor mayim chayim. They've left the living waters. And they've left Hashem. The source of all is Hashem. It's this connection. It's this emunah. Verse 14. And this is a very important prayer. And actually, we say this. When we leave Hashem, it's like we're injured or we're wounded, and we want to get back there. And so we pray to Hashem, Rafeinu Hashem, Hashem, if you heal us, Ve Rafe, then I will be healed. It's interesting. Whenever the Torah talks about a doctor, it says, Verapo Yerapa, a doctor will heal. It uses a double expression. And it means that we have ways of healing, but there's always side effects. You always got to go back, another visit, another doctor, you know. When Hashem heals, that's it. Hashem, if you heal me, I will be healed. I won't have to go back in 6 months. I won't have to take more medicine. I won't. Rafeinu Hashem, when you, Hashem, heal me, Ve'i Rafe, I'll be healed. That's you're the source. Hoshieni, when you save me, so I thought I was saved already. Why do I got to keep on going, you know? Today, people, they go for therapy. You could go for years. You know, they always have them coming back. You know, when Hashem saves you, Yivashah, you'll be saved. Kiti la siyata, you are my praise. And so you have a lot of very good, you know, strong words about faith. You know, emuna, the importance of emuna, and that's really the message of the parsha. If people abandon Hashem, then it's they've tossed out the source of living waters. And if you have faith in Hashem, then you could turn to Him. And it doesn't mean a person's perfect, but then you can be healed. Then you can be saved. Then you have roots. And so the only other thing I would say is that some people would say, well, either you believe in God or you don't. And if you don't, how can you tell a person to believe? So we believe, right? But we think that you can get faith. That if you say to yourself, well, I don't know if I believe, but if I look for Hashem, we believe you can find Him. That you can grow your faith, so to speak. It's not if you sincerely want to, and you look for Hashem, and you look for that relationship, it's not like, well, I don't believe. You will come to belief. Even the Rambam says, he says, if you look at the ocean and you say, who created this? You know, where did this come from? I know I used to live not far from I was in Ohio. It was a few hours from Niagara Falls. I'm sure any really big thing in nature, it's really interesting. It's a religious experience. When you say you see something that takes your breath away, you feel the divine. It's really, you know, if you think about it, and you just, you don't, you have to know to expect it, but it's there. In other words, you could be going on vacation and you just see like a beautiful sunset. There's a natural connection to Hashem. When you see something that's really just beautiful, or even a spring day when the flowers are up in full bloom and the birds are chirping, if you think, you know, Hashem, are you there? And you can hear Him, you know, you can see Him. It can become real. That's the so we've tried to focus on that. And again, because it's so personal, and because some people become a sugar, you have to go to special classes to focus on faith, or to know, you know, where's the right thing to talk about or not to talk about. People get confused in faith. Some people have faith and they shouldn't have faith. Like some people say, you know, have faith, it'll turn out all right. Well, you know what? Maybe it's not supposed to turn out all right. You know, it means that you have no right to say to a person, let's say a person has an operation or they have faith, it's going to, you know, it's good to have faith, but we don't really know what Hashem wants, what we're here for, what the test is, what the challenge is. And so sometimes faith, instead of strengthening the person's faith, they could lose their faith. Like somebody promised me if I, there's a terrible thing that some charities do where they say, if you give really well, we guarantee then, you know, that person's cancer will be cured. Or we guarantee that.
But you didn't give enough.
But you have to give more. Yeah, you do the next line, right? So what happens is that people then lose their faith, chas v'shalom. And so that's why it's a tricky. It's best if a person, just like I said, creates their own relationship with Hashem and creates those roots, and so then they don't get shaken, their faith. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.